Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Of people in Spirit Radio and listeners texting in and all that sort of stuff, excited about my next guest that have joined me back in studio, because many of us, many of you are fans of their cookbooks, or maybe you have popped out to the Happy Pear in Greystones in County Wicklow and enjoy heading out there. But I love their cookbooks because it's really all about making really healthy stuff using really great fresh ingredients, lots of fantastic herbs and spices. And also one of the reasons I love their stuff is because it's easy as a mommy to be able to batch cook and freeze stuff, and especially when stuff is veggie, it can freeze for quite a long time and you don't need to worry about it. In studio to chat to us and give us a little bit about an update of all that they are up to, including their brand new cookbook, I have David and Stephen Flynn, better known as the Happy Pear. How are you doing?
What an intro, thank you.
You're always full of energy, you guys. And not surprised, because you've been munching on your granola that we're going to be talking about. One of your granolas that we're going to be talking about shortly. But the first thing we have to talk about is, I'm not surprised you're doing another cookbook, because every time you do one, they just do tremendously well. They're number one for weeks on end, all that sort of stuff. Tell us a little bit about the ones that came before this cookbook and their success.
So the first one was a yellow book, and we just did it because people kept asking for books, and we'd no reference to doing a book or anything. And
I know when the book came out, Penguin were like, well, you don't have a TV show, lads, and I know it's vegetarian, but a normal cookbook would sell 2,000 copies, but we're going to print 6,000 because you'll sell it over 10 years because you've a shop. And the little yellow book came out, and I remember I was away on holidays and phoned up Dave, what happened with the book? And he said, someone drove all the way up from Tipperary and they want me to write my name in their cookbook. I think this was amazing.
Yeah.
And the book came out within 6 weeks. We'd sold the 6,000 copies.
Would you think, were you surprised that, and the publisher was obviously surprised given what they thought, how long it was going to take to sell 6,000 books. Do you think that was because it was a vegetarian cookbook? Were they not popular prior to you guys publishing this stuff?
There hadn't really been a huge kind of mass interest in kind of plant-based or more vegetarian food. So this was kind of a big, like, over the lifetime of that yellow book, it sold 100,000 copies.
Wow. I think there's also been a rise in what I am, which is the flexitarian.
Yeah.
You know, this idea of not wanting to eat too much meat and trying to just cook a lot more veggie stuff, even though you mightn't be 100% vegetarian. Or as my sister-in-law, who is a vegetarian, just keeps saying to me, you're on a journey, Wendy. You'll get there.
You're on a journey. I love it.
This latest book is called The Happy Pear, Recipes for Happiness. So it's about easy veggie food. Tell us a little bit about what's different about this book and why you decided to put it together.
This one was great fun. So we ended up, it was really on the back of we got an email from Jamie Oliver about 2.5 years
ago.
You were doing
the YouTube stuff.
Yeah, FoodTube. So we didn't do YouTube before that, and then we thought, actually, why not? You know, you don't get an email off Jamie Oliver very often. So he asked us to shoot 2 videos a week, you know, and upload them. Obviously ours was all veggie and healthy and dads and whatever. So for the last 2.5 years we shot 500 videos, and on the back of that we got so much feedback about what people like. We developed our 5-minute dinner series, which was, you know, I didn't know we could cook a dinner in 5 minutes.
You're just trying to beat Jamie's 10-minute meals.
Well, it was, no, we set a stopwatch and it was just 5 minutes from start to finish. And it was two of us, obviously. But in this book, we turned them into 15-minute dinners. And then we kind of have other sections, like in this book, which is, people always say it's so expensive and it takes so much time. So we set ourselves the challenge. We said €20 for the full week for food, 1 hour prep to cook enough food for 7 days. And we've got a good few meal plans from that. We have a 2-week health reboot. We have a full section on plant-based meats, which is like vegan steak, vegan doner kebabs, vegan chicken nuggets, just kind of play food for people to kind of
enjoy. The whole idea of the book is to try to make it easier for people to eat more veg, because most Irish people don't get enough fibre. And we get fibre, you know, fibre has 3 functions in our body. It's for elimination, it's for weight loss, and it's for our immune system. And most people don't get enough. Like, not probably, like, the only research is that 8 out of 10 Irish people, but it's probably more
is
like
that 90%. From not eating enough green veg and things like that?
No, not even enough fruit and vegetables.
Pulled
so it's like everything. So it's like we're eating too much Western, too much animal food and too much refined foods. And the whole idea of the book was to make it easy and accessible, and not to make anyone vegetarian or vegan, but just to make us, as a nation, we need to eat more vegetables.
And this whole idea of cooking from scratch, there was a lady in the paper today turned 103 and she puts it down to eating food fresh. She said, I never ate anything out of a tin.
Brilliant.
I thought that was really, really interesting.
That's very nice, isn't it?
In terms of that and that idea of, you know, that it's really expensive and all that sort of stuff, I I think nowadays when you can get your, you know, Super 6 or Super 5, whatever it is, of fresh fruit and veg, I mean, you just throw the ingredients into Google and amazing recipes come up.
Yeah.
Do you think we're getting a bit more eclectic in Ireland in terms of things using different types of spices and herbs and even different types of vegetables? And pak choi, I mean, that wasn't on Irish shelves 10 or 15 years ago.
When we first started the fruit and veg shop back 14 years ago, most customers were kind of older ladies looking for York cabbage to go with their bacon and cabbage, and then kind of people suddenly started getting into peppers and asparagus and kind of more exotic foods as they became more widespread.
Yeah, even back 14 years ago, we used to sell pallets of potatoes because people ate so much potatoes, and now no one really buys potatoes. People buy a lot, like they eat a lot more pasta, they eat a lot more, as Stephen was saying, asparagus and different kind of greens, and there's a lot more peaches and nectarines and, you know, fancier fruit, whereas before it was, you know, it was a lot more
apples and bananas.
And Satsuma was kind of exotic, or a clementine and fancy grapes, whereas now it's really kind of moved on to where...
And also, I find, because Ireland is becoming, thankfully, much more multicultural, near to me, for example, there's a fabulous Indian shop that's got all these really, really cool Indian spices, the harissa paste, all that sort of stuff, which
amazing.
I absolutely love going in there. So for somebody who hasn't read one of your cookbooks before, what can they expect if they were going to try one of your recipes before? They're a bit nervous, maybe kind of used to, as you're saying, doing the meat and two veg and all that sort of stuff, and thinking, oh, I'm not sure if I'll be any good at it. Are they difficult recipes to follow?
No, I would think the whole purpose in this is quick and easy. So I think they'd be very surprised that, oh, well, geez, that was easy, that was quick. Oh, that tasted really good. And she's a little biliated and porrigated, you know, and but I think that would be our hope and our expectation of the book.
And it's quite cheap. Like, if you think about it, you rarely leave the supermarket going, geez, that broccoli was mad money. You know, vegetables typically are the cheaper part of most shop. It's normally kind of the other elements that are more expensive. So, yeah.
And healthy stuff as well. I've already sampled one of your version of a Bounty bar.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What do you think? Yeah.
And it tastes so good. I am thinking, can it really be healthy? What's
well,
in it?
Healthier, I would think. Relative to the original, you know. So, it's,
so just less sugar.
Well, we make it dairy free. We make it refined sugar free. We kind of make sure it's really high in fiber, so the sugar's released a lot slower.
Okay, so what's the difference between refined sugar?
Refined sugar would be, say, it normally come from sugar cane and all the fiber be removed, and it's quite a process method versus, say...
So like a crystallized kind of cane sugar or a muscovado sugar versus a less refined sugar would be maple syrup or...
Where literally you tap a tree. Like maple syrup, for example, you're just tapping a maple tree, like literally putting a tap into a maple tree, draining the sap and then reducing it, just boiling a lot of the liquid off, and that's your maple syrup.
So, so cool.
Not processed that much, so it's quite high in minerals and quite...
Another thing that I have in front of me.
This is
a little bit of a competition now.
This is fun. Can I tell you a story about this?
Go on, yeah.
So we grew up as total, friends used to call us cereal killers. Cereal as in, you know, cereals for breakfast.
The sugary stuff, the bad stuff.
We used to like kill a bag, a full 1.5 kg Alpen. We could like kill it in one sitting, you know. We used to love cereal. And recently, I'd say the last 10 years, we've eaten a lot of granola. So super into granola. And we used to have competitions, who made the best one, who made the best one. And this year anyway, we decided we'd release one granola. And we're both so competitive that we both couldn't decide whose was better. So he said, well, let's just put it out. Let's both put out a granola and see what the nation prefers.
What
see
is whose the granola difference between the two granolas?
So my one is called Dave's Cacao Crunch. So it's it was based on Mom would never let us have Cocoa Pops. Only once in a blue moon, you know, when we were away on holidays. So I wanted to come up with something that makes the milk go chocolatey, but was much healthier, that I was happy for my daughter's teeth. So,
I like
so
the
puff
sound
brown
of that.
Rice and cacao. And then Stephen's one, the much better one.
Not quite.
This is based on, in our blue book, our second book, there was a recipe in there called Fluffy Clouds Granola, which sounds crazy, but it was one of the best granola recipes I've ever tasted or made. So we tried to come up with a version where it was no added sugar and it was super high in fiber. So this one is 4 grams of sugar, so no added sugar, and then it's like 22 grams
Loads
of fiber.
Loads of chicory root fiber.
Exactly, there you are. Boom.
I definitely haven't tried that in my granola before.
But that's kind of the sweetener. But if you taste it, it still tastes sweet and lovely.
It's
but it
lovely,
doesn't
yeah.
have that kind of... like almost like a flapjack taste. It's more
it's
like
one of those things that's deceptive, isn't it? A lot yeah. of granolas that you see on supermarket shelves, when you actually see the amount of sugar in it, it's
normally
huge.
20,
and you think you're eating healthy.
Yeah, average one would be 20 grams, so that's 4, so that's pretty, you know.
My one I think is 16. So
Dave's a little more indulgent.
But hey, listen, I'm up against
yours
Cocoa
is
Pops,
the Sunday so. Granola then.
Well, yeah. No, I'm happy for my daughter's teeth. I eat it.
You've lots of stuff going on, as always, as well as the cookbook and all that sort of stuff, but there is a festival that caught my eye, which is called Playstival. Tell us a little bit about this.
That one's a really fun one. That's I guess we have 5 kids, not together but between us, and so important is it's so easy nowadays as a parent to kind of give your kid a screen or put them in front of the TV or whatnot. Mm. And this festival is really an antithesis of that. It's all about play and creativity, and it's for parents and their kids. It's on August the 11th and 12th. It's 2 days. We've got a French company bringing over 300 wooden games. So it's really back to basics. It's wooden games, it's creativity.
And they're massive, big installations. So like many of them are the size of this room. And they're just bigger. Encourage creativity, imagination, and just back to basics. It's not screens, it's not flashing lights. It's like you actually have to use your imagination, creativity, and play.
What you were made for.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's really a celebration of that. It's play. We'll have all
sorts of
healthy food.
Are your kids your little chefs and your taste testers?
My little kids love it. My little boy Ned thinks like that's what men do. Real men sit up on the counter, they chop their vegetables and they cook vegetables. And that's because my wife doesn't like to cook. So it's, yeah.
Is that one of a happy byproduct for you guys that you are encouraging men to cook more?
Yeah, I think.
I don't actually know.
You know the way you're doing your thing, and I think much more men are much far more like are much more interested in food. I would think
than they have been previously.
My little boys are totally into it anyway.
And are you? What about the importance of just getting them into things like fruit and veg and growing stuff and all that?
We planted stuff this morning. Me and my daughters planted. They got little seeds yesterday, so we were out at 7:30 this morning. We were planting beetroot.
We were picking tay berries, blackcurrants. And gooseberries this morning. Little Ned, the 2-year-old, was holding the bowl, and May and Theo were picking them, and we were all kind of getting stuck.
What are you going to make out of those? That's the thing.
Yeah, we put them in our porridge. It was great.
From festivals to now Netflix. So last time we were talking about being YouTube stars, now it's a Netflix documentary that you're featuring. And tell us about this.
So this is really fun. Once again, we got a random email to see if we wanted to be part of this Netflix show. And it's this guy, Phil Rosenthal is his name. He was the writer and producer of this show called Everybody Loves Raymond, which was the best grossing comedy show, I think, in the US.
Huge. And it's
a massive one. Yeah.
So he kind of got a license to do what he wanted after that. And he said, I'd like to do a show with my family where we go travel around the world and eat in the best places and hang out with really fun people. So this show is called Somebody.
That's a kind of nice job.
It's a pretty good show. So his show's called Somebody Feed Phil. So literally he's going around going to kind of places which he's interested in, some of the best places, and he's going getting fed. And they did an episode in Ireland where they picked, I think it was three, I don't know how many restaurants, but they picked us. We were one of them. So they came and hung out with us for a day and filmed all sorts of stuff, and they rocked up with massive cameras and a full big crew.
But it's great in that it features Greystones and kind of a number of people from the town. And
it's as much a tourism thing as it is a food thing.
Because it's Netflix global, so it's all over the world, so it'll be interesting.
And we're doing a little private screening just to celebrate tonight. If anyone wants to come along, it's in the Whale Theatre in Greystones at 8 p.m. There'll be food. We're going to put on tuxedos for the laugh, just a sense of woohoo!
And we'll find some kind of red mat or doormat or something.
A jacket we can put in the ground.
Yeah, but something for the laugh, I think.
Pretty cool, though, that you're going to be on Netflix. Do you think, is one of your hopes, and I know you guys were saying earlier, like, it's not about saying, everybody be vegetarian, but do you hope that you'll encourage people to just at least kind of think about maybe reducing the amount of meat that they eat?
Yeah, I think we as a species need to eat more veg, more plant-based food, because there was research just at Oxford, which encompassed, I think there was 100,000 farms and encompassed 90% of the food chain. So it was a massive piece of, it was 40,000 farms, massive piece of research. And all boiled down is that the single biggest thing you can do for the environment, which is in, global warming, huge warming and huge issues with kind of greenhouse emissions, is to eat a whole food plant-based diet or a vegan diet. And that it's much more greater than,
Electric
cars, not flying, all sorts of things. Literally what you eat has the biggest impact on the environment. So I think us as a species need to eat more plant-based foods.
Particularly as parents, if you want your kids to see snow, and if you want to, I think that, you can even see this year, it's an amazing summer. An amazing summer, but this year we've gone from a proper winter, which I can't remember ever having in my life, and then this summer is like
phenomenal.
So we can see it's changing, and I wonder if it keeps going on this kind of path where it'll end up by the time our kids are our age.
That is the big question that we have to ask. Have you got a favourite recipe that's in the new book?
Yeah, I like fermented things. Okay, cool.
Yes, that's what I wanted to speak. Fermented things is one of, is it a fad?
No.
Why is it good for me?
So there was a piece of research there saying that the longest popular...
You agreed with each other there, by the way. There was a resounding no.
No, this one's amazing. So, no, fermented foods are amazing. So, Korean women by 2020 will be living the longest of all women on the planet. The average Korean woman will live to 90 years of age.
Wow.
So incredible longevity. And they're putting, one of the huge factors to this is their consumption of fermented foods. So as in kimchis, kombuchas, kefirs.
It's peppermint kombucha, but for some reason I was thinking of sambuca.
I love it. Sambuca at 11 in the morning.
Okay, so this is peppermint kombucha. Why is this good for me?
Kombucha, so it's a fermented tea. So in essence, you're brewing a tea. And there's this thing called a SCOBY, which is a symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast. And that converts the sugars in the tea to probiotic bacteria. So it's good for your microbiome or your immune system.
It's all about gut health. Isn't it? Let's say for somebody who's reading about all this stuff about gut health, I got really into it when I had my son, I was breastfeeding and reading all about the virgin gut and all this sort of stuff and how important that was. But then, of course, I started to think about my own gut.
Yes.
And as we start to learn more about these things and you're thinking, jeepers, well, I've been eating a lot of rubbish for the last 30 odd years. Can you actually reverse the effects on that by doing stuff like eating fermented foods, drinking fermented foods?
So it's often said we've 10 trillion human cells and we've 100 trillion bacteria. So we're more bacteria than we are human. And our immune system is a direct function of the biodiversity or the variety of different bacteria we have. So the more bacteria we have, the stronger our immune system. So it's really important in that. And one of the main foods that our bacteria feed upon is fiber. And you only get fiber in fruit, veg, beans, legumes and whole grains. So we need to eat more fiber for that reason.
So fiber, it doesn't have to be all about kefir and fermenting?
No. Well, I think fermented foods are great because they encourage different bacteria. And I guess they say there's so many studies now linking your mental health and depression and correlating that to your gut health because certain bacteria will affect your moods. You know,
there's, well, that's
interesting. Research in UCC.
Because obviously it's called Recipes for Happiness. Yeah. And, you know, there is, as you said, a lot of research that shows just the effects that too much sugar can have on our moods, as you said, but also just about emotional eating, you know, when we're eating the bad stuff and it's not often because we're hungry a lot of the time. Is that another kind of hope, is that if people are eating better that they'll actually be feeling better, not just physically but mentally as well?
Definitely.
Diet massively affects our mood.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we all say, you know, the afternoon slump, you know, we all turn to a chocolate bar,
yeah, I was going to say, you must have a guilty pleasure though.
Of course, but I think we forget that our primary fuel source is actually oxygen. It's movement. So I think as a species, we got to move more, we got to drink more water, and then try to eat more fiber, more whole foods.
Well, it's always great to have you guys with us in studio. And if people are, as you mentioned, you've got the screening of the Netflix Somebody Feed Phil episode tonight in the Whale Theatre in Greystones, County Wicklow, if you're that way. But you're also going to be at the Leia Healthcare City Spectacular, which is on in Dublin. What are you guys doing there on Sunday?
We're doing a demo at 12:30 for kind of kids and their parents.
Cool.
Yeah, it should be really fun. And then straight after that, we'll be at the Playstival station where there'll be a whole lot of wooden games, which is kind of a precursor for our festival.
A bit of a promo for Playstival. Well, yeah. I'm hoping to go to that for sure. If you've just joined me, I've been talking to David and Stephen Flynn of The Happy Pair. They've got a new cookbook out. It's called The Happy Pair, Recipes for Success. Well, I'm happy this morning because they've brought me in lots of goodies this morning. It's been great to have the guys, as always. And if you want to stay in touch with the guys, you can go onto their website, thehappypair.ie. And of course, that's where you'll see the Instagram, the Facebook, the Twitter and all that. Sort of stuff. Guys, thanks William for joining us.
Thanks
William,
Wendy. You're a star.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.